Oh, we're loving that song. That could only mean one thing. It is time, folks. It's time for the Turner Boys Show. Stan Turner with you here. Thank you so much for being with us. 12:06 on this gray, cool, but I think mild Saturday afternoon compared to what we've been through. We're not Buffalo, New York, are we? Huh?
Yeah.
They're 6 feet under. That is 6 feet under snow on their rooftop. It's horrible out there. So we have no complaints, I guess, right now that would be legitimate as opposed to that. Kyle, how are you today, buddy? Good to see you.
I am doing fabulous.
Are you?
Yeah.
How do you get to be fabulous? I've never reached that height.
Well, it's a little bit warmer today.
Yeah.
So
that'll do it right there. Looking at the calendar, kind of a chill. November 22nd. That probably doesn't resonate with you, but in 1963, yeah, that's a day people will never forget. The 51 years ago today, the United States of America lost a president to assassination in Dallas, Texas. So every time you see November 22nd, for a lot of people, it kind of sends a little ripple through you of remembrance and of sadness, too. Whether you're a Republican or Democrat or somewhere in between, taking a president away that way, that's pretty bad stuff. Anyway, just remembering that date. And right now, we're looking forward to Thanksgiving week ahead. Let's see, the weather forecasters for Thanksgiving Day on Thursday talking about mostly sunny in the metro area. We're going to lose the nice temperatures, though. A high predicted on Turkey Day of about 14 degrees and a low that coming night of 9 above. No mention, that is no mention whatsoever of snow or any other kinds of precipitation. So that's a pretty good deal, Kyle. What do you think, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I can handle the cold as long as it's not snowing.
Yeah, I agree. Great. I can handle summer. Let's put it that way, huh? About a wind chill of 85 degrees. That's what I can handle. Well, here we go. Let's get going with the show here. Sometime in the year 1956, way back when, a 19-year-old Texan with lots of drive and lots of talent uttered these words. This is a direct quote. "Hell, it's only rock and roll. It's the music everybody wants to hear, man." Yep, Buddy Holly. He was, of course, only partially right. Rock and roll was not the music everybody wanted to hear back in 1956, but the fan base was growing and growing fast. And today, rock is it's a huge pillar of our pop culture, and it's bound to stay there for a very, very long time. Tonight at History Theater in St. Paul, undeniable proof that Buddy Holly and his music and cultural influence are very much alive in our cultural bones today, even though Buddy has been gone. This is unbelievable. Gone for 55 years. Tonight, History Theater reprises, brings back Buddy, the Buddy Holly story. Just in time for the, and here comes the bad pun, just in time for the holidays. Folks, there's good rockin' tonight through December 21st at History Theater in St. Paul. This is kind of a family reunion because we've got the folks from History Theater here are going to be bringing this wonderful production to you here. We welcome back the likes of Nicholas Freeman, who channels Buddy Holly. Nicholas, good to see you again, my friend.
Thank you, Stan. It's great to be here.
I can't wait to see you. I have the good fortune, good Lord willing, to be in the seats tonight when you're out there doing Buddy Holly. It's going to be great.
I hope you rave on. It's going to
I
be
will
awesome.
Rave. Thank you very much.
You're
the
welcome.
The puns are coming fast and furious, ladies and gentlemen.
There's no slowing down.
I know. We're full speed ahead here. Ooh, downshifting. And, of course, we have the artistic director at History Theater, the man who's also directing this this time around. This is the third time around, Ron Peluso, for Buddy.
It is indeed.
Yep. All right. So that's a long-winded answer to a very short. Can you elaborate on that a little bit? What is so compelling? What keeps bringing this wonderful program?
Well, people absolutely love this production of Buddy Holly. It's part concert. It's part storytelling. And Nick as Buddy is just incredible. And our band, the Crickets, mm-hmm. That surround him, mm-hmm. It's just a terrific night of theater.
I am a rock guitar freako. You do a great job. You got a Fender Stratocaster? Is that what you're playing up there? Or
yes, sir. That's correct.
Okay. You don't have to call me sir. Just call me mister.
All right. That's okay. Thank you, mister.
Blake Foster, is he doing the lead guitar work up there tonight, too?
Yeah, he is.
Tell us about him. Is he from McNally?
He's a McNally Smith student, college student, and he was one of those kids that just came on and... kind of wide-eyed at first and just jumped into it, has just a ton of talent.
Mm-hmm.
And working with Gary Rue, Gary really, he's our musical director. He really helped shape all of us to fit the style and to honor the music that Buddy made.
I must say, before we go on, Andrea San Miguel, who plays Buddy Holly's wife, is with us in studio today, too. So we'll be chatting with Andrea shortly here. As Ron said, Nicholas, this production is part rock concert and part biography. You've learned a whole lot about Buddy Holly. When you first came to the role a long time ago, how many years ago? How much did you know about Holly?
I think it was 6 years ago. I didn't know a whole lot about him personally. I knew his music growing up. It's hard not to know some of his music and not be touched by it, quite honestly. But, you know, the first time around, we tried to tell the story in the best light possible to, stay true to who Buddy was and his music. And it was amazing to see the people just come out in droves to tell us how much this music means to them on a personal level. I mean, from people who... new band members or were in Clear Lake or, you know, had some sort of connection to the event of, you know, that last winter dance party. And people just have tears in their eyes and the hugs that we get after the show with just pure joy and just genuine thanks for bringing this music, to the History Theater and for portraying the story in such a real, honest way.
The emotional outpouring is remarkable. You and the cast have done two previews, last two nights down there. Tell me about the number of people who showed up. Folks, these are previews.
Yeah.
Tonight's opening night. What kind of turnout, Ron Peluso?
Last night we had 300 folks show up.
And, 300?
And tonight, you know, our theater seats 600, and we have about 599 seats sold, I think. People just love the show. I mean, they love the music. They love the atmosphere. And we're doing a partnership. Some of our band members and cast members are from McNally Smith College of Music, where they teach rock and roll, so it's a perfect match for us.
They teach rock and roll?
They do.
Really? Seriously?
Gary Rue is a professor at the college, and Gary won an Ivy for music direction for Buddy Holly a few years ago.
When I was in college, they taught medieval English history. Where was the rock? Rock 101, no
rock
way.
101 is
Kyle,
it.
Did they have that when you were in school, huh?
Not that I know of.
We've been cheated, brother,
class, though,
huh?
Yeah,
this
really.
Just isn't right. I love it. You know, obviously, this is a huge appeal to boomers, people of the so-called boomer generation, but I've been to concerts where they bring their kids and their grandkids along, and those kids are mouthing they know the lyrics, and they're dancing to the music, huh?
Oh, yeah. Everyone at the end of the show is just up and dancing. And you, no matter what age you are, you know some of these songs. It's hard to escape them. And,
right.
Like you said, I mean, we have grandparents taking their grandchildren to this show, and the kids just love it.
Nicholas,
we get them involved.
Yeah,
it's
amazing to think. Buddy Holly, all he accomplished, he was 22 when he died in that plane crash in early 1959 in northern Iowa. He'd only been doing his music professionally for what? Almost less than 3 years, I think.
Yeah, I believe, from the time his first hit was, it was 17 months before... before the plane crash.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was a ton of hits in a short amount of time that people forget, I think.
Yeah.
You simply don't see that. I don't think the Beatles had that accomplishment.
Right. I want to tell the listeners that in the second half hour today, we're going to do all Buddy Holly here, all hour. We'll be playing some more of Buddy Holly's music. You heard the opening there, I'm Going to Love You Too. But we're going to get the backstories to some of his big hits and then talk more about Buddy himself and the accolades that flowed. Nick Freeman, if it's okay if I call you Nick, I know you go by Nicholas.
Absolutely.
Or Buddy. That's Buddy. What is so compelling about this Holly guy to you?
Oh, what is compelling about it? You know, the music is so simple. It's just so pure and raw. I've recently discovered the apartment tapes that where he it was just he and his guitar. He recorded in his apartment in New York City, and those songs are so personal and so beautiful. I've really connected with that recently for this production. So you know what compels me to him? I just think he was honest. He was a passionate guy that didn't mind speaking his voice, but he was not going to let anyone get in his way. He was polite about it. He was a true gentleman, but he wasn't going to take no for an answer. And I think that's a lesson we can all learn from, you know, to show respect and dignity to others, but not let your dreams suffer.
I like what you said. You call Buddy Holly's music simple. He wrote a lot of it. He wrote a lot of his own stuff, most of his own stuff, but not simplistic.
No, no.
Go ahead with that. There's a lot to the music.
Oh, yeah. And, he, you know, even as his career was just getting off the ground, he immediately acknowledged that he wants to start changing things. He wants to do things people haven't begun to think about yet.
He really was courageous. He was not afraid to explore new musical horizons out there. He didn't have a safe center spot there where he would, you know, kind of cower and keep his head down. He was out there on the cutting edge.
That's correct. I mean, you know, Lennon and McCartney both talked about that and giving him credit for, you know, let's just not put ourselves in a box. Let's continue to explore what music can be and how it can push our limits and make awesome things.
So. Buddy Holly, the inspiration. How about that? Andrea San Miguel portrays Maria Elena Santiago, who became Buddy Holly's wife and then his widow. Welcome to the show, Andrea. Thank you for coming down.
Thank you very much for having me.
You know you have to be on stage tonight, don't you?
I do.
Very nice of you to come down. Wow.
I got the butterflies.
Do you?
Absolutely.
That's a good sign. That's a good
sign.
That's going to be, you're going to do great. I know you are. They loved you the last two nights up there, didn't they? On the previews?
Well, it was fun. I loved them. We had some really amazing audiences. So,
may I ask you? Never ask a lady your age. How old are you?
Well, I'm a teeny bopper at heart, I think. So pretty young, but honest with you, I'm 24.
Oh, you're just a baby. You're just a baby. Okay. So how much did you know about Buddy Holly and about his wife before you came to this role?
Not very much, but I am from Texas, so I feel like I did know a little bit. I always knew him as a legend, and I really started getting into his music actually before the show, and it kind of opened a door for me into just how incredible he was, not only as a rock and roll star, but as a person.
Maria Elena Santiago, where did he meet her? Was it in New York?
It was in New York.
Okay. It was even beyond a whirlwind romance, wasn't it? This happened fast.
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh my god. The story of how they met is actually very, very romantic.
Can you give us a little bit of it? I don't want to steal the whole thunder.
Sure, no, absolutely.
Thanks.
No, absolutely. So he found her in Murray Deutsch's office. He was a secretary at the time, and he walked in and I think was immediately enamored by her. He tricked her actually into coming with him to lunch. He told one of her friends to take her to lunch where he was going to be. So
PJ Clarks, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
PJ Clarks in New York.
He was very, very slick. So they went, and apparently when she was there, the crickets and him were fighting over her. And
really?
So then he just kind of like put his foot down. He's like, "She's mine," I think she started backing off, and she was like, "Okay, well, I'm gonna go back to work." And he asked her like if he could walk her back, and on the way back, he asked if he could take her out on a date, and she was like, "No, I don't really go on those." She had to ask her aunt. So he said, "Okay, well, if your aunt says yes, meet me at 6 o'clock at my hotel. And we'll go out."
Okay.
And so then she finally got permission from her aunt, and he met up with her later. She met up with him later that night. She went to the hotel. Actually, it said she went to, she got a taxi, and she pulled up, and she saw him and the crickets leave in a limo, like start to leave the hotel. But apparently, he saw her. He turned around and, like, saw her pull up to the hotel, and he told the driver to make a turn around the block and pick her up. And then that night, they went out, and he asked her to marry her.
Basically, their first date.
Their first date.
What took them so long? My goodness, that's amazing. True story.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago at PJ Clark's in New York, where they had that luncheon that was kind of a setup, I guess. Mm-hmm. They have made a special dedication of the booth where they sat that day back in the 1950s, right? There's a plaque there, and I guess there was a little video done a couple of years ago when it was dedicated. So if you go to P.J. Clark's in New York City, swing by there. You'll find the Buddy Holly and his wife, Maria Elena's booth right there. How about that? The lore is still very much alive. Isn't that great? Mm-hmm. So you're loving the role, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely.
You are a beautiful lady, as she is and was. So she's still around, isn't she?
She is. She's still around. She's still, I've seen some interviews with her, and she's still obviously very much in love with Buddy and keeping his legend alive.
He was, but as we said, 22 years of age when he died in that plane crash. She was pregnant at the time, and then she miscarried a day or two after the crash.
Right.
And one can understand she could not bring herself to go to the funeral of her husband. And at last report, I don't think she's ever visited the gravesite in Lubbock, Texas, has she?
No. No.
Well, the pain, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
I think she does go. She has gone from time to time to the annual reunions in Clear Lake, Iowa, at the Surf Ballroom, where Buddy and his bandmates played what turned out to be their last concert. So she does get out from time to time to Buddy Holly-related events.
Correct.
All right. Well, this is a great role for you. I know you do well with it. What about the music here, Nicholas Freeman, Buddy Holly, the song set tonight and through December the 21st? What do we going to hear?
Well, you're going to hear, most of the hits. We got Peggy Sue, we got Every Day, we got, you name it, True Love Ways, we got Words of Love, all those songs we cover in this show. I think there's 17 songs total that I'm a part of. So, and then we bring in Richie Valens for some La Bamba, which is exciting. That gets the crowd going for sure.
Okay.
And then we have the Big Bopper singing Chantilly Lace.
Hello, baby.
That's right.
Yeah, there you go. And listen, we should talk about, we also see what one critic or reviewer called the venal Norman Petty, who was the producer and sometimes agent for Buddy Holly, the chief abuser, or the abuser in chief, the exploiter, a guy named Charles Fraser, an actor who plays him, right? Can you give us a little taste of Mr. Norman Petty?
Well, Norman was one of the early producers. He kind of took Buddy under his wings and
under his heel.
And under his heel, exactly. He had a tight control of the money coming in, and that became a problem, which is why Buddy went on this winter dance tour, because Norman was holding, legally, but probably morally, holding the money that was coming through. So Buddy didn't have access to that. So the only way he could, continue to make money at the time was to actually go on these tours and be one of the headliners for them.
Norman Petty had what became a famous recording studio in Clovis, New Mexico. And not only did Buddy Holly perform there, but our good buddy Bobby V cut some of his records down there. It was kind of the center of gravity in the southern United States, wasn't it, for rock and roll record recording back in the day?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he really was turning out a lot of hits and knew how to do it.
Yeah, he did.
You can't really argue with that. But Charles does a fantastic job portraying him and... there's a lot of really interesting scenes. Some of them get quite heated, but it's a great part for Charles.
And tell us about the actor who portrays Richie Valens, too. Can you tell us a bit about the role?
Sure. Yeah. Alan plays Richie Valens, and Alan does a great job.
Alan?
Malixi.
Malixi, okay.
Yep. He's coming back to do the role again, and he is just fantastic. He has, since the first time we've done this role, he has really committed to not only learning the guitar better, to become better at learning Richie's style, but to... also know who he was as a person. He's gotten to, we had the honor of playing down at the Surf Ballroom last February, and Richie was there. Sorry, Alan was there with us, and he got to meet the family. We all got to meet the
Richie Valens family.
Richie Valens family, and so that was quite a joy. And so just to get to know them and just have a conversation with them, it just helps to make it even more personal for us as actors.
Richie Valens was all of 17 years of age when he died in that plane crash. Mm-hmm. Just amazing. He had some big hits, Donna, La Bamba, Let's Go, and great stuff. He was red hot. One of the first Latino, right? Rock stars, right?
And yeah.
Think of how far that guy would have gone.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
He was
at
like
that
a
young
rocket,
age.
Wasn't
he? Oh, yeah, he was great.
Yeah, we have to talk about, and I know that Andrea San Miguel playing Maria Elena Santiago knows a lot about this, but Buddy Holly was on what was called the Winter Dance Party Tour. It was the rock tour from hell in the winter of 58, 59. Mm-hmm. The weather was terrible. They were were riding around in beat out old school buses without any heaters. And it was a vicious winter like we had last year, mm-hmm. year out here. Mm-hmm. And whichever saddest set out their tour trip, it was a killer. I mean, it was, and believe me, it just was horrible. I think it started January 23rd in Milwaukee. And then Buddy and the group, the next day were in Kenosha. That wasn't too bad. But the next day they're in Mankato, then back to Wisconsin and Eau Claire. The following day, way out to Montevideo in west central Minnesota. The next day into St. Paul, the prom ballroom. Bill Deal, our buddy, I think emceed that one. Then the next day, January 29th, Buddy Holly and crew down to Davenport, Iowa. Next day over to Fort Dodge, Iowa. Then on the 31st, the following day, up to Duluth, Minnesota. Guy named Bob Dylan was in the audience that day.
Right in the front row. Changed his life,
yep,
he says.
It did. The next day, from Duluth to Green Bay, and mind you, this horrible transportation, buses breaking down, cold, horrible cold, Green Bay. The next day, Clear Lake, Iowa. Mm-hmm. And they were supposed to go the following day to Moorhead, Minnesota, mm-hmm. actually to play at the Armory there. So mm-hmm. that whoever laid out that schedule was a monster.
There's the famous story about the drummer who got frostbite from the buses and was actually in the hospital. So Buddy Holly was actually, he put on a big fedora and he was playing drums for Ritchie Valens. And then Ritchie Valens would come on and play drums for Buddy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, mm-hmm. they had to just, you know, make it work. And they were carrying their own equipment. They were hauling things in and out. And having been to the Surf Ballroom now with heat even, it's that door opens up and you feel it.
I believe it. What did it feel like to play the Surf Ballroom?
You know, it was absolutely
incredible. As Buddy Hall.
Oh. It was incredible. I mean, there I am standing on the stage. It was one of the most nerve-wracking nights of my life. But it was such a joy, such an honor. We had Chubby Checker went on right before we did.
Ernest Evans, the real Chubby
Checker. Yes, sir. Okay. Chubby Checker was there for a while. And you know, right before he went on, it was in the dressing room. It was myself, Chubby Checker, and a gentleman who was one of the original Crickets by the name of Tommy Alsup.
Oh, yeah.
Was in the dressing room, just the three of us. It was very surreal to sit there amongst those two. And then Chubby went on and did his set, and, you know, I'm not sure his exact age, but, man, can he rock it?
Yeah,
he was fantastic.
He's
got to
be in his
70s
by now.
Oh, my goodness. He was fantastic. Yeah. So to play on the stage, to look up and see they have these three paintings on the back of the Surf Ballroom that are always lit, and they look down on the stage.
Ooh.
And so for me to play that music, having those three gorgeous portraits of these young men staring at me was quite bone-chilling. And quite honestly, the second my foot hit that stage, all nerves were gone.
Really?
Everything was gone because I had no choice but to just be in that moment.
And you were, and you did it, and they loved you.
It was great.
Wonderful.
Great.
We should talk about J.P. Richardson, the Big Bopper. Can you just give us a little summary of him?
Sure. Well, you know, the Big Bopper was part of that trip as well. You know, Bob Hale has a famous story about Bopper's wife was pregnant at the time. And, you know, as you know, then Bopper lost his life. And then his son was born. And then his son got to know his dad just from all the articles and all the stories and never really got to see his dad. And so he went on and became, you know, a musician as well, and was touring the country doing a lot of his, you know, his Big Bopper act as well.
Mm-hmm.
But he was just a passionate DJ who loved music, he was a great storyteller, loved to work a crowd, and, you know, that's what you'll see tonight at the History Theater.
Chantilly
as well.
Lace and a furtive face and
that's
a pointed
right.
tail hanging down, right?
That's right.
I think so, yeah. And we should mention that a guy named Waylon Jennings was part of Buddy Holly's musical group at that time, right?
Yeah, I believe he was playing bass.
Bass guitar.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And didn't he flip a coin with Valens to see who'd get the last seat on that airplane?
Yeah, he did.
Waylon lost, but he won, didn't he?
That's right.
As it turned out. Amazing. We're going to take a break. Can you guys stay a little bit longer? A few more minutes?
We sure can.
I know you have to be on stage tonight.
It's an honor.
Yeah, thank you. It's our honor, believe me. Stan Turner, we got the crew here. Wonderful. Buddy, the Buddy Holly story, opening tonight at History Theater in downtown St. Paul. Nicholas Freeman, Andrea San Miguel, Ron Peluso, Ron being the director of the program. You want to hear more about it? We're going to do some Buddy Holly music, give you some backstories about Buddy and the music right after this. You want to get your shopping done quickly? Make a list of the people you would like to give to and also write down something they are interested in and take the list to Valley Bookseller and ask them to recommend books for each. The staff will amaze you with the choices you can make. They will even mail them for you. It's Christmas magic at Valley Bookseller. Call 651-430-3385. Great books, great people. 217 Main Street North in Stillwater.
At Jaime's Haberdashery, men never sacrifice fashion for weather. So no matter how cold it gets, you can still spot a Jaime's man by his impeccable taste and the confidence that only comes from a hot lather shave. Jaime's Haberdashery helps men look and feel their best with high-quality clothing cut and styled just for them. Create a look that's uniquely yours with tailored suits, overcoats, hats, and accessories that make winter blush. And at prices that won't melt your wallet. Jaime's Haberdashery, 400 St. Peter Street in downtown St. Paul. Online at Jaime's.
You finally found it, that old photograph of your grandmother that you've always wanted to share with your grandchildren, but it's torn, cracked, and faded. Well, don't despair. Bring it in to Images of the Past in Stillwater. They specialize in restoring and preserving memories for future generations. So when you bring your old photos to Images of the Past, you can share that beautiful photograph with your grandchildren. You can see examples at klbbradio.com. Keyword, photo. Think of the future, preserve the past. On Main Street in Stillwater at Images of the Past.
Club 1220 KLBB is going to be leaping into the ice-cold waters of White Bear Lake. There on the scene is Jenna and Sarah. Ladies, why would anyone do this act?
We really want to raise money for the Special Olympics and help out our favorite little athlete, Caroline Smith.
And how do people get involved with this activity?
You can give us a call at 651-275-1220 or go to our website at klbbradio.com.
Thank you, ladies. Join KLBB at White Bear Lake. Donate online at klbbradio.com. Brought to you by River Valley Ford.
They've been sitting on that shelf for years. Those special memories of your childhood on slides, videotapes, or 8mm film. You want to share them, but you don't have a way to do it. Now is the time to let Images of the Past do it for you, and you'll have those special memories to share with the family. Images of the Past can transfer your memories to DVD to be enjoyed anytime by the whole family. Think of the future, preserve the past. On Main Street in Stillwater at Images of the Past and at imagesofthepast.com. At the Stan Turner Show, we love good stories, and there's no better place to find them than Valley Bookseller in downtown Stillwater. Valley Bookseller is an independent bookstore with knowledgeable and friendly staff who love books. Tell them what you like to read, and they'll make terrific recommendations just for you. Also, discover one of the finest children's collections in the entire Twin Cities. Valley Bookseller, great books, great people. 217 North Main in Stillwater. Online at valleybookseller.com.
At some point in life, everyone needs legal advice. My name is Cameron Kelly, and my law firm specializes in helping small business owners, their families, and individuals with their basic legal needs for a reasonable price. Everything from wills, trusts, and estate planning to small business and real estate law. If you have questions, call me today for a free telephone consultation or to arrange a personal meeting.
Cameron Kelly Law, for your business, for your property, for you. Call 651-705-6277. That's 651-705-6277. Cameron Kelly Law.
At Jaime's Haberdashery, men never sacrifice fashion for weather. So no matter how cold it gets, you can still spot a Jaime's man by his impeccable taste and the confidence that only comes from a hot lather shave. Jaime's Haberdashery helps men look and feel their best with high-quality clothing cut and styled just for them. Create a look that's uniquely yours with tailored suits, overcoats, hats, and accessories that make winter blush and at prices that won't melt your wallet. Jaime's Haberdashery, 400 St. Peter Street in downtown St. Paul. Online at Jaime's.
We are back here. Oh, it's good rocking tonight at History Theater in downtown St. Paul. You're going to want to be there. Oh, boy, this is running through December the 21st. What is this? This is Buddy, the Buddy Holly story about the great rocker from Lubbock, Texas. And the man really did have a local and regional presence around here, as we mentioned a little bit earlier in the program. What turned out to be his last tour, music tour, took him right through Minnesota and Wisconsin and northern Iowa. So he definitely left a mark here. career, as he did everywhere he went. So we're talking with the wonderful gentleman who portrays Buddy Holly on stage at History Theater, Nicholas Freeman. Andrea San Miguel, who portrays Maria Elena Santiago, Buddy's wife. And we have with us the artistic director of History Theater and then the director of tonight's production, Ron Peluso, with us. Nick Freeman, let's see, when we walk in tonight at History Theater, even before the show starts, we're going to have a show in the lobby, I think, aren't we, ma'am?
That's right. We have a bunch of dancers from SPCPA, St. Paul School of Performing Arts. Okay. And they're going to be in the lobby dancing with people and raving on and bopping away. And it's like, it's like the 50s just coming to life in the lobby the second you walk to the theater.
We call this a good party, huh?
That's right.
The day.
And they're too cute. You're going to have to dance with them. If
absolutely.
You come, they will make you
I will.
Dance.
They will run right for me when
absolutely.
They see me.
Excuse
me, they'll run away from me when they
I'll
see me.
I'll tell them to look for you.
Yeah,
for
thanks a lot,
man.
Andrea. Andrea San Miguel, who is Mrs. Buddy Holly. Your favorite, what are a couple of your favorite tunes, Buddy Holly tunes?
I love Every Day, but I really love True Love Waits because you sing it. I mean, it's just Buddy and his guitar. And I've kind of been into the Apartment tapes lately, too, and it really is just him and his guitar.
Yeah.
And there's something just so, so terribly charming about his voice and just how simple, really, he can be.
Right.
And so there's this really lovely moment that me and Nick have just kind of on the steps where he's singing the song that he wrote for her. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Really lovely.
Well, you mentioned a song that comes from what turned out to be the last formal recording session that Buddy Holly did. This happened at the Pythian Temple Recording Studios in New York City in late October 1958. Norman Petty, the producer, had been after Holly for a long time to inject strings into his music. Forget the crickets and all the rest. He wanted to dress it up with an orchestral touch. Buddy finally came around to that, Nick, and they had a recording session. I think it went over two nights. And they laid down some tracks that are really have become immortal, haven't they?
Oh, they did, yeah. I mean, Petty knew how to make those things come to life, right. And so did Buddy. I mean, he just did it so beautifully, so masterfully.
During these sessions, the Pythian Temple sessions, Petty and company, they brought in musicians from the New York Philharmonic Orchestra and the old NBC Orchestra, string players, violas, violins, cellos, harp player, even harps, and we hear that. We're going to play one of the songs they laid down. This is remarkable. It's called "It Doesn't Matter Anymore." Something of an ironic title.
That's right.
Turned out
by Mr. Paul Anka.
Paul Anka wrote this specifically for Buddy Holly, and Paul Anka brought it over, showed it to Holly the morning of the recording session. The first time anybody saw it, Buddy fell in love with the song, and right away went to the people who put together the lead sheets for the orchestra. Said, "Get this ready. We want to record this tonight." I think they had but one rehearsal. The remarkable thing about this song, besides the fact it's a great song, is that they recorded this in one take. Mm. What you're going to hear right now is the one and only take they ever did of this. Buddy Holly, "It Doesn't Matter Anymore."
There you go, baby. Here am I. Well, you left me here so I could sit and cry. Well, golly gee, what have you done to me? Well, I guess it doesn't matter anymore. Do you remember, baby, last September, how you held me tight each and every night? Well, whoops-a-daisy, how you drove me crazy, but I guess it doesn't matter anymore. There's no use in me a-crying. I've done everything and now I'm sick of trying. I've thrown away my nights and wasted all my days over you. Well, you go your way and I'll go mine. Now and forever till the end of time, I'll find somebody new. Baby, we'll say we're through and you won't matter anymore. No use in me a-crying. I've done everything and now I'm sick of trying. I've thrown away my nights and wasted all my days over you. Well, you go your way and I'll go mine. Now and forever till the end of time I'll find somebody new. Baby, we'll say we're through and you won't matter anymore. You won't matter anymore.
One take, Holly, right there. It doesn't matter anymore. That is the one and only take they did on the playback in the studio. They all looked at each other and said, hey, we can't do any better than that. That's perfect. Put
it's
it out.
Done.
It's done. We did it. That's amazing. That rarely happens. Elvis used to do 36, 40 takes of one song. It's amazing. At that same session, maybe the same night, maybe the next night, at the Pythian Temple Studios in New York City, Buddy Holly and Company laid down a couple more tracks. One, True Love Ways, one that Buddy wrote for his new wife, right? And a beautiful song. The October 58 recording sessions there really gives us an inside glimpse of the recording process in those days. This, again, 1958. Thanks to a surviving tape from the session, we can hear the seconds before Buddy Holly and Dick Chaffetz's orchestra lay down the track that Buddy recorded of True Love Ways, the one that was the agreed-upon take to be pressed into records and sold to the public. We have that tape, and what you will hear before the song is actually sung is this. You're going to hear it. It starts with, "Yeah, We're Rolling." That's said by Norman Petty's wife. And then a piano player and a tenor saxophone player will start to play some notes. Buddy Holly mutters, "Okay," and clears his throat. The producer yells, "Quiet, boys," to everyone else in the room. And at the very end of the talkback, the producer says, "Pitch, Ernie," to signal the piano player to give Holly his starting note, a B flat. And this is how it went.
"Yeah, We're Rolling."
Okay.
"Quiet, boys. Hey, Charlie.
Just you know why. Why you and I will by and by know true love ways. Sometimes we'll cry, and we'll know why. Just you and I know true love ways. Throughout the day, our true love ways joys to share with those who really care. Sometimes we'll sigh, sometimes we'll cry, and we'll know why. Just you and I know true love. Sometimes we'll cry, and we'll know why. Just you and I know true love ways.
Tonight you will hear Nicholas Freeman, a.k.a. Buddy Holly, sing that to Maria Elena Santiago, Mrs. Holly, portrayed by Andrea San Miguel, on stage there tonight.
Yeah.
My Lady? That got you, didn't it? That's very emotional.
It is. It is. And he and Nick gets me every single time with it, too.
Yeah.
Like, the, oh, my God, the first time that he sang it in rehearsal, I became a, just a weeping mess. It was
that's
just,
okay.
I was just ugly crying. It was just ugly crying.
You may be weeping, but you're not a mess, my dear. You look quite lovely, and I'm looking forward to all of that. Yes.
If I can chime in, the you know, the beautiful thing about that moment in the show is that he just he says to Marie and Lena that he had been up all night. And I wrote it, he says, I wrote a new song just for you. And early on, you know, when I first did this role a few years back, you know, Gary Rue and Ron were saying, you know, that's a bit too polished. He just wrote this song. We're not going for what we just heard right now, which is beautiful and gorgeous and very emotional. Mm-hmm. But just the idea that he just wrote this song, he's playing it for the very first time for the woman whom you know, that he loves. Such a beautiful personal moment in the show. And so... You know, sometimes I'll struggle with the chords or, you know, or just, you know, make it a playful moment. But I think it's really a beautiful moment that Ron helped to craft.
That's why the guy does what he does.
He's
isn't he,
good.
Yeah.
Ron is one of my best friends and severest critics. He's a great guy. At this Pythian Temple recording session that we've been playing tracks from, Doesn't Matter Anymore, and the beautiful one we just heard, they also laid down a track for a song called Raining in My Heart. Very nice. Now, this was written by the husband-wife songwriting team of Boudlow and Felice Bryant. So they wrote a lot of the Everly Brothers' early songs, successful songs. And they wrote this one, Raining in My Heart, for yeah, the Everly Brothers. The Everlys said, no, I don't think it'll fit us very well. Our buddy Holly, I think, would do better with it. So,
We do it in the show. It's you know, again, a moment that I as you know, as an actor, I was having trouble connecting with that song. Mm-hmm. Just how do I sell this song? How do I stay true to the song? And Ron just looked at me and said, "He's a rock star," and you have to just be that comfortable in that skin.
That's great.
And I just went with it, you know, one of the last rehearsals before we opened the first time around, and it just clicked. And it's become one of my favorite songs.
Wonderful.
Sing.
Here it is right here.
The sun is out, the sky is blue, there's not a cloud to spoil the view, but it's raining, raining in my heart. The weatherman says clear today, he doesn't know you've gone away, and it's raining, raining in my heart. Gonna become of me. I tell my blues they mustn't show, but soon these tears are bound to flow, 'cause it's raining, raining in my heart. It's raining, raining in my heart, and it's raining, raining in my heart. Oh, gonna become of me. I tell my blues they mustn't show, but soon these tears are bound to flow, 'cause it's raining, raining in my heart, raining in my heart. In my heart.
Another Buddy Holly gem you will hear on stage at History Theater tonight. Yes, Mr. Freeman, huh? Lovely
song.
It's a great song. Yeah. I'm trying to feature the Everly Brothers singing that, and I'm sure they would have done a nice job. But
it's Buddy's song.
It fits Buddy perfectly.
Yep.
Yeah. Buddy, we mentioned before, Buddy Holly, who is the centerpiece of this wonderful production at History Theater, opens tonight through December 21st. The man was always kind of pushing the envelope musically, experimenting, had his eyes on Hollywood, I guess, too.
He did, yeah. Before he passed away, he had signed up for the Actors Studio to take some acting lessons. I think it was kind of interested in following, you know, what Elvis was doing as far as playing his rock and roll music and doing it on the big screen, and he was excited about that.
Buddy Holly, from time to time, of course, he wrote most of his own stuff, but sometimes he would cover other rockers' stuff, and he took a Bobby Darin song that's really funny. This is kind of in the gospel vein, in a way, almost a call and response kind of thing.
Oh, this
Kyle,
one gets
I think we
me.
Got this one all queued up. Here is a Bobby Darin song done by Mr. Holly, and hang on to your hat.
Well, you're gonna miss me early in the morning, one of these days. Oh yeah, well you're gonna want me early in the morning when I'm away. Hey, hey, don't you know that you'll be sorry for the times I cry. You'll be sorry for the times you lied. Well, you're gonna miss me early in the morning, one of these days.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you what, you gotta have a larynx to get through that one, huh, Nicholas?
Man,
wow.
I don't want
you doing this one. That'll too hard on your voice.
All right. All right. We'll cut it.
Cut it out of the show. It wasn't in the show.
No, it's not in the show.
Look at the time fly here. Oh, we're so excited, and rightly so. Tonight on stage at History Theater in downtown St. Paul, Buddy, the Buddy Holly story here. Great. We've got Nicholas Freeman portrays Buddy Holly, Andrea San Miguel, his wife, Maria Elena Santiago. We've got Ron Peluso, the director here in the studio with us. A couple things in the remaining minutes here we want to talk about. Apollo Theater, is that one of them?
Yeah. One of the things about the show is they touch upon the Apollo Theater and that the racial breakthrough that Buddy Holly was a part of. One of the first musicians of that time who was white, and they booked him because they thought he was an African-American musician.
They what?
They booked him because
they thought
he was an African-American
really?
Musician. Yeah.
I haven't heard this. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, you know, they went there, and, you know, there's a funny little bit in the show. I don't know how true it is to real life, but in the show, the musicians are, you know, there's quite a clash between the Caucasians and, you know, the whites and the blacks, and then it's portrayed in the show. And you know, and Buddy Holly said, you know, at the classic Apollo Theater at that time, I think the MC at the time, his name was the Grim Reaper. I mean, he was vicious. If axe did not fly,
really?
He would get his you know, shepherd's hook and yank him off the stage, and, you know, he'd say, well, if you're not good, you're gonna die.
Wow.
And so those are some of the lines that are in the play. But it's a testament to Buddy Holly, because then, you know, he didn't win him over immediately, but the first song that the crowd at the Apollo at that time thought, all right, we'll let him play one more song. And then he played Peggy Sue, and the crowd went nuts. And he won over the Apollo Theater in that time period, which was a very sacred ground for African-American music. At that time.
It was. In the early years of the Apollo Theater in Harlem in New York City, black performers, but all the audience were white people. It was for white people. Mm-hmm. That's how it started.
Yeah, now, right.
When Holly was on stage, was it a black or a white audience?
The management had changed over at that time, and at that time it was a black audience that was, mostly playing there at the Apollo Theater. It was quite a really cool time for Buddy Holly and his music. And he really didn't care. He studied from African American musicians.
Sure.
He did several covers of
Like Elvis. They all drew from.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
They,
I mean, there's
the
stories
magic
about
of the music.
We heard stories from the Crickets when they came to see us. A few years ago, Jerry Allison was telling me, he and Buddy would meet Elvis, and they would hop into a convertible and go to the African the black clubs at the time and.
Right.
Kind of disguised himself, and somehow Buddy would work his way up on that stage, and he'd jam with the musicians, not to show off, but to learn from them.
Right.
And that's quite an amazing thing.
Kyle, our producer, is a very young man, but you have to remember, I'm sure you know, that back in the day, back in the late 50s, this was a very racially segregated country.
Oh, absolutely.
And there were some performing venues where blacks and whites were not allowed by state law to appear on the same stage at the same time. And the blacks could never stay in the hotels where the white performers did. So this was a different world, a different country.
Especially in the South, yeah.
It was. And it was, you could make a strong case that it was music that integrated this country.
Oh, I believe that, yeah. For sure.
Absolutely.
What do you think?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Absolutely. I mean, there. And Buddy, I think was, I mean, he was ahead of his time, and I know that he actually toured with African Americans, and it was very difficult for him to understand that whenever he was on tour with them, they would have to be in separate hotels. And I remember that this Maria Elena gives this one interview where she talks about how they just would have the most difficult time because they would have to be separated. They couldn't all just like be together in one hotel. Mm-hmm. And Maria Elena, being actually Hispanic, also had a lot of difficulty with that. I mean, even Buddy Holly's family didn't completely accept her. I mean, she was actually very close to his father, but his mother was very... still had problems with her and her being Hispanic.
They kept the marriage on the down low for a while. I mean, they didn't want the public to know at the time that he had just married someone who's Hispanic.
I want to read something here. I think these words are really well chosen. I've used this in previous shows about this subject, about Buddy Holly, written by Michael Ventry of then MSNBC a couple of years ago, and get your comments on it. I think this is beautiful writing. He writes, Michael does, that today Holly is recalled by the general public as somewhere between a footnote and an icon. The footnote status rests only with the uninformed, and primarily because Holly lives such a short life. He was only 22 when he died. If you chart his career as a major force in rock and roll from the time he signed his first record contract with Decca, he had only been working as a serious professional for 3 years, although his music background dates back to his days as a boy playing bluegrass and singing in the choir in Lubbock, Texas. Michael goes on to write, Buddy Holly was the James Dean of his generation. But whereas Dean, who died at 24 in a car crash in California, was celebrated for his brooding screen presence, it was Holly's earnestness that defined him. At another time in history, he would have been called a nerd. Instead, he was the embodiment of a new art form that made dancing, shaking, shimmying, twisting, and jumping to music as natural an expression of young love and restlessness as making out at Lover's Lane. Well, what do you think, huh?
Well, that's quite a quote.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's fantastic.
He wasn't, I didn't necessarily, when I first saw pictures of him, I was like, oh, well, he's not Elvis, he's not Ritchie Valens, he's not this sex icon, but there's something so just like, and I mean, I'm enamored with him. Yeah. He's just charming.
Heck. What a guy. What a play. Be there tonight, folks. If you can't make it tonight, you got until December 21st to get down to History Theater in Safe Hall. Our thanks to Nicholas Freeman, Andrea San Miguel, Ron Peluso. Thanks for coming. Break a couple of legs tonight.
Thank you, Stan.
And,
we will.
And boy, crank up that Stratocaster, will you?
Yeah, come on out and check it out. It's a great play. Please. Great rock concert.
See
as
you
well.
At the theater tonight. Okay.
Shadows are falling. You can hear my heart to call in. A little bit of love and make everything right. I'm gonna see my baby tonight. All of my love, all of my kissing. You don't.
boy.
Oh boy,
when you're with me, oh boy.
Oh,